the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 997. Lord, while I wander here below, what ills my soul annoy, for 'tis of thee I little know, and are still less enjoy. 997. Read from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, commencing at verse 19. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." And John bare record, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is, by interpretation, a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, Believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. May the Lord bless his word and help his servant in prayer.
Dear Lord, in thy great mercy, thou hast spared us once more to gather in this thy house. And O Lord, as we gather this evening, we pray that our gathering together may be of thee, and that thy precious name, dear Lord, may be honoured and glorified, and that our souls may be truly profited, and everything of the flesh and of this world be put down. May Christ be first, and Christ be last, and Christ be all in all to each of our souls. We do seek, dear Lord, for a breath of real prayer, or that we may be enabled to pour out our heart before thee in fervent, earnest prayer. Oh, deliver us from just uttering words or praying like the Pharisee did, thus with ourselves. But may we know that true indicting of thy Spirit, and that we might ask for those things that are in accordance with thy holy mind and thy holy will that we should ask for. And, O Lord, do help us to ask in faith, nothing wavering. We pray, dear Lord, that thou wilt be the master of assemblies this night, that we may be favoured to feel and to know thy sweet and sacred presence. O Lord, one of old said, What is the house to me, unless the master there I see? And oh, we would come as those Greeks of old designed, to see no man save Jesus only. Oh, do soften our hearts, Lord. We mourn because of the hardness and coldness of our hearts so often. And oh, we pray to have that truly soft heart, that broken, contrite heart thou dost give to thy dear people, and that we may be real mourners over our many, many sins and after thee. Oh, we pray for that God-given repentance to be given to us, and that we may truly confess, Lord, our many sins, and come begging and pleading for mercy. Oh, that thou wouldst wash us in the precious blood of Jesus. Thou wouldst make us white in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, may we know that sweet peace of Calvary in our souls. As the dear poet said, this glorious man, thy peace shall be. And oh, may we each be favoured, Lord, to know that sacred peace within that passeth all understanding. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, for grace to humble ourselves under thy mighty hand. We may be as nothing and a precious Jesus, the one thing that is needful. O Lord, we need thee to go before us in all things. Oh, to prepare us for thy will. We pray for grace to be submissive to thy mind and will. Ever keep us from murmuring, Lord, or complaining. Oh, do grant us that a heart that is submissive, and that we might lie passive at thy dear feet and know no will but thine. Oh, do grant gracious encouragement to those, Lord, that need encouraging in the way. It seems so much, dear Lord, to discourage us and discourage thy people and thy servants. But oh, we pray for those heavenly encouragements, those heavenly tokens of thy love. May we each, Lord, have that real religion thou dost give to thy dear people and be found in that narrow way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, for thee to apply thy precious word to us. We need the application of it continually. Thou wast open thy word up to us each and give us that gracious understanding, Lord. We may be like those dear disciples. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Lord, how we need thee to reveal thyself to us as our Saviour, our Redeemer, our all and in all. O Lord, do help those that are truly seeking thy face. May they have the sweet assurance they shall not seek thy face in vain. For thou hast said, seek, and ye shall find. And oh, that there may be throughout Zion those real seekers of thy face. And we pray, dear Lord, for those that are in weakness and affliction, that thou wilt heal them, restore them, and strengthen them if it be thy holy will. And oh, do sanctify these afflictions. May there be much teaching in it and profit to our souls. And we pray that thou wilt have the glory in it all, and that it may be for the establishing and edifying of the souls of thy people. They may be able to say, and we, like dear Hezekiah, when he said, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. Oh, do comfort those that are mourning, many are bereaved in Zion. Do make up the breach, dear Lord, and prepare each of us for that great day of death and our departing. Oh, that we may be ready and waiting for thee to appear, and have our lamps filled and trimmed. And may we, Lord, have on that wedding garment, waiting for thy coming. Do bless the dear young ones, Lord. We pray for the dear young people that thou wilt be with them and help them to commit their way to thee and to cast their cares upon thee. And oh, may it please thee to go before them in all that concerns them. Especially remember those that it's thy will hope to be married in the coming year. We pray thou wilt be with them and bless their relationships that they may prove thou art with them in it all. Thou wilt make a way, Lord, and provide, and may they be bound together, not only naturally, Lord, but in the vital things of God, to abundantly bless them each and all the dear young ones. Remember the dear children at school and college and those in university. Preserve them and each one and keep them, Lord. May they do well in their studies if it's thy will. And see thy hand guiding them, directing them. Keep them from all the evils that abound and the many dangers, the many snares. May they be truly taught of the Lord. And do bless the dear babes, Lord. We pray for the dear little one thou hast brought home from hospital, and we commit him to thee and the dear parents in all the concerns, and we pray that he may grow and be raised up as a vessel of divine mercy. And Lord, do remember each of the dear young ones. We commit them each to thee. Thou wilt preserve them, protect them, watch over them. And may they in early days have given to them a real appetite for the truth. Who bless those truths taught them in the Sabbath school, and may those truths abide in their hearts. Hear the prayers of dear parents and grandparents and those that pray for them. And may there yet be a seed raised up to serve thee, and a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. To help those in middle age in all the burdens and cares they have, Lord, to undertake for them. Make crooked things straight, rough places plain, darkness light. And oh, do remember those in advanced age. Pray for our dear friend in her great age and weakness, that thou wilt be to her all she stands in need of. And may she have the assurance of heaven that it is well, and may we each, Lord. Who bless the church here, and if it be thy holy will, and our own church at home as they gather for prayer this evening. We pray that thou wilt be with them and hear their prayers for us. And we would lovingly pray for them. And Lord, to add to the church here and our own flock and Zion, precious souls yet, if it would please thee. May all that hinders thy children be removed. And may thy constraining love yet constrain others to venture while there's room. For thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come. We pray, dear Lord, thou wilt call many by thy grace, and may thy house here be the house of God yet to many. That this man and that man was born there. Lord, do remember thy servants and help them as they preach thy word here and throughout Zion. Do clothe thy word through them with divine power. And may there be real fruit following the preaching of the word. May we not just beat the air this evening or spend our strength for naught, Lord. We have to prove continually what the apostle said, for God giveth the increase. And O Lord, how we need thee to increase us in faith and love and in every grace. And we pray for the deacons here that thou would help our dear brother at the desk and strengthen him and heal him and be all that he needs in all the concerns he has. And bless the hymns he gives out this evening. And may there be a sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. And we pray, dear Lord, for our dear brother in this journey back tonight. Thou wilt bring him in the convoy of thy love. And bring him home in peace and safety to his dear wife and family and thy people here. And may the trip be successful. And remember, Lord, this guilty nation. Hear the prayers of thy people for thy appearing. And knowest, Lord, how thy name is despised and rejected by many. We pray that thou wilt open blind eyes, and especially among our leaders and rulers, unstop their deaf ears, and cause them yet to turn to thee if it's thy will, and to seek thy face concerning their own souls, and concerning this land, and leave us not to the will of our enemies. Take not thy Holy Spirit from us. May we yet see better days, even in this nation, and the evil and violent men throughout the earth put down, and all the agents of Satan. And oh, do stem the tide and power of the wicked one, and may we yet see the wonders God alone can do. Now, Lord, we would not multiply words, but we would praise thy blessed holy name for thy great mercies to us, those mercies that are countless as the sand that daily I receive. Help us to turn to thy holy word and anoint us, Lord, with that heavenly oil. And oh, do come and suit thy word to every sinner's case. May none be empty sent away. Make up in giving where we so fail in asking. And pardon what we've uttered amiss and all our many sins. And wash us in that precious blood that doth for sin atone. The precious blood of Jesus. We ask it for his dear name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 984. Hark how the gospel trumpet sounds, Christ and free grace therein abounds. Free grace to such as sinners be, and if free grace, why not for me? 984.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to John's Gospel, chapter 1, and the last three words in verse 38. The Gospel according to John, and the last three words in verse 38, "Where dwellest thou?" The Gospel according to John, chapter 1, and those last three words in verse 38, I'll read the whole verse. "Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou?" Dear John had wonderful faith given to him to view the precious Son of God. We read again the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." You know, dear John had a blessed interest in the precious Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus. To him, he was the one thing that is needful. But as he spoke, these two disciples of John, they, we read, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. We don't read that they followed John, though they were his disciples, but they followed Jesus. They were to be real followers of a meek and lowly Jesus. And what about us as we gather tonight? Are we true followers of the Lord Jesus? Go back to Elijah's day when he came to Mount Carmel and he put the people to the test with that searching word, didn't he? "Why halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." There are many followers of this world today. The many followers of natural religion. There are many followers of Satan. But are we real followers like these two were of the dear Lord Jesus? Wonderful thing, you know, to be following him. You know, really, when the Lord calls his dear children by his grace, he makes them followers of him. They were truly disciples of the Lord Jesus, not just disciples of John. But I say this in leading up to the text, but we find, "Then Jesus turned and saw them following." Look how close that comes to each of us tonight. He sees whether we are real followers of the dear Redeemer. And there are many ways we can follow him. And he will give us grace and help and strength to follow. But what is with me was this. these followers were true disciples of the Lord. And you know, I used to think in my early days, before I believed the Lord called me by grace, that I used to think, well, the disciples of the Lord were elite characters. And as we used to read the Word of God and read concerning his dear disciples, we know, and let's be very clear, they were very chosen, precious children in his sight, precious disciples of the Lord. But you know, this comes right down to every one of God's dear chosen children. You know, one of the simple meanings of a disciple is a learner. And really, you know, if we are the Lord's dear children, we're continually learning. We're continually in the school of Christ, being taught of him. The Lord left on record, didn't he, that beautiful word in the prophecy of Isaiah, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. We know that can apply, and what a blessed thing when it is to each of the Lord's dear children and their families, all thy children. You know, there are those the Lord has spoken that word to, and the Lord has called each of the children by grace, but it applies to the whole election of grace. All that the Father giveth me, Christ said, shall come to me. They will be real disciples. They will be in my school learning of him. But secondly, of course, a real disciple is a follower of the Lord. He is the one thing that is needful. But too, another sacred meaning of being a disciple is being under the discipline of the Lord. You know, the 12, well, the 11, we will name the 11 because Judas proved to be a castaway, but and that solemn case is to warn the children of God how close we can come and yet never know the truth savingly. But those 11, you know, they were under loving discipline of the Lord. And you know, if the Lord's fear and his grace, though you may feel to be but a learner, and we're really learning right till we breathe our last breath, aren't we? The hymn writer speaks of it. We are but learners yet. But you see, they were to come under the Lord's loving discipline. It's like a loving parent with their child. They discipline them because they correct them. They lovingly teach them and exhort them. And so the Lord does with his dear children. But they're under that discipline. And you know, a child will know how far they can go because of that line of discipline. Some of us look back and think of our early days and we were not allowed to do this or that, and particularly on the Lord's day. My grandmother used to say to us when we were small, and we used to say, well, why can we not go out to play on the Lord's Day on the Sunday? We knew full well we couldn't, but she used to say, this is Sunday, Sabbath day, that is why we must not play. Run about and make a noise like the naughty girls and boys. And you see, in that is discipline. And you know, it's a wonderful thing to be under. Where would we be if the Lord didn't correct us? He does his dear disciples. You think how many times the Lord reproved the disciples because of their lack of faith. Where is your faith? Oh, ye of little faith. And how he kept them close to him. And that's what a loving mother and father wants with their children, under the discipline, keep them close to them. Why? Because dangers of every shape and form surround them. Well, much could be said. I want to come to these three words. So Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? What seek ye? What a question, isn't it? Really, many sermons could be preached on those three words, what seek ye? Now look in your heart and mind tonight. How would you answer that question? How would I? What seek ye? Are we real seekers of the Lord? We find so many times throughout the precious word of God, don't we, the Lord exhorts his dear children to seek him. And that's a beautiful couplet, and may it be a sweet encouragement to your soul tonight. Thou shalt not seek his face in vain. There are many things the real disciples of the Lord will seek for. They seek for mercy, the publican did. Why? Because sin troubled his poor heart. Does it trouble us? Doesn't trouble the world, does it? But the real seekers of the Lord will be seeking for mercy. They'll be seeking for pardon. They'll be seeking for the Lord to reveal his face to them. What seeking? They'll be seeking for a token for good, a visit from the Lord himself, from Zion's King. What seek you? And it may be there are those that are seeking answers tonight to your prayers and desires. You're seeking that, you young ones may be, for the Lord to provide a husband, provide a wife, provide employment, provide a home, and so on. We could name many things. But then, look at it in a far deeper way. Seeking to know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, your Redeemer. Seeking to know that he has put away all your sin at Calvary. Seeking that he would make a way for you, and seeking that he will confirm his work in you and confirm his word and confirm your exercises. Oh, the real followers of the Lord, you know, continually seek him. Now these two, they were to be real seekers of the Lord. What seek ye? And this is what Jesus said to them. What seek ye? It's not my word. You know, really, as we look at this evening, it comes home very close, doesn't it? What seek ye? If we were to go through a whole congregation tonight, what would you say? What seek ye? They're the words of the Saviour. Well, these disciples, they were to answer. And you know, we will have to answer before the Lord, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master. Master, is he your master? Is he mine? It's a wonderful thing to have a heavenly master, you know. You think of a master of a ship. One of our old ladies in our congregation at home, one of her sons is a master of one of the great liners of this country. One of those great vessels, and he's the master of that ship. Now he is in control of that ship. And think how the Lord is in control of all things concerning his real disciples. And they own him here as master. We read on another occasion, Jesus said to his 12 disciples, "One is your master, even Christ." And as that master of the ship controls it and is it responsible for all those that are in that great liner and everything that goes on, is everything is answerable to the master. And think of how wonderful it is that we got a heavenly master. One is your master, even Christ. But what did they say? Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted master, where dwellest thou? You know, these words have so rested upon me today. Where dwellest thou? This was the longing of these two disciples of John. They wanted to know where the dear Redeemer dwelt. Well, I want us help, firstly, this evening, to look at a few places where he does dwell. Where dwellest thou? But before we do that, you know, this is a searching question. And is it the echo and desire of your heart and mine? Where dwellest thou, Lord? But let us bring it home close. You see, the Lord dwells in the hearts of his dear people. Oh, he does. Christ dwelling in you. Precious characters these are where Christ is dwelling in them. Look in your heart and mine. Well, let me come low. Do we desire that he might dwell in us? Think of it. Do we desire that he might dwell in our poor hearts? I know what you'll feel if he does dwell there. One of the things you'll feel is it so unworthy to entertain him. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Unworthy dwelling, glorious guest, favour astonishing divine. He dwells within his people. He takes possession of their poor hearts, you see. He dwells in them. You know, when the Lord worked mightily in the heart of Saul of Tarsus on that Damascus road, he turned out from Saul all that natural religion he had. You know, he was full of it, wasn't he, as he started that journey? We read concerning the temple where the Lord Jesus entered into it, and what was there? There were the money changers, there were those that sold doves, there were the buyers, the sellers. But what did he do? He turned them, he put them all out. Why? Because it was his house, and he was to reign there. He was to dwell there. And look at it in our hearts. There are a lot of buyers and sellers within us, aren't there? Saul of Tarsus, you know, all that natural religion had to be removed. Well, bring it right home to this season of the year. You know, I often think of what dear Joseph Hart said in that beautiful hymn concerning the birth of Christ. You know, we read in Scripture, don't we? There was no room for him in the inn. And Mr. Hart said, like the crowded sinner's heart had room, but none for him. And that's how Saul of Tarsus was until the Lord turned out all those buyers and sellers. And so were your heart and mine. He must dwell in us. And if he dwells in us, he will turn everything else out. It must all go. He must have the preeminence. He will have the preeminence. Where dwellest thou? Now bring it right home to your poor heart and mind. Do we firstly desire he might dwell in us? And secondly, do we know something of what it is when he does dwell in us? You know, it will break the hardest marble of your heart when he dwells there. It'll really humble you in the dust while you look in the case of Legion in the Word of God. What did the Lord do? He brought that dear man away from all the deadness and coldness of those tombs that he dwelt among. And the Lord dwelt in him and brought him to sit at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. The Spirit of Christ dwelt in him, and he was humble and tender. And so was Saul of Tarsus when the Lord brought him to that place when he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He was so willing, wasn't he, to serve the Lord and for the Lord to dwell in his heart. The wonderful favour, you know, when he dwells within. Sacred feeling in the sinner's heart when Christ dwells there. Because when he is dwelling there, all we shall want to do is whatever he commands us, whatever is found in us will be what he has put there. Those longings, those desires, the hardness of heart removed and peace and quietness within, the Lord dwell in us. Where dwellest thou? So he dwells in the hearts of his dear people. And this will be seen. I may have mentioned it here before, but you know, dear old Mrs. Noble used to have at Ashwell, of course she's buried in the cemetery in Swavesey, and you know, she was a lovely woman in the things of God. And I used to go and visit her, and you know, there's times I went in that little humble dwelling of hers and, you know, I had some beautiful glimpses of Christ within that dear woman. He dwelt there, you know. And when he dwells in us, we won't want the world. We won't want the things of time. All we want is Jesus. But let me just pursue this thought of the desire for him to dwell in us. Where dwellest thou? They wanted to know, didn't they? My mind goes to the two that journeyed to Emmaus. You know, that very sacred journey when they went on that journey home to Emmaus. knowing all what had taken place, that Christ had been crucified and slain and laid in the tomb. And as they journeyed, they were sad, and Jesus himself drew near and he went with them. They knew what it was to feel and to know his sweet presence in their hearts. The Lord was not only to go with them, but he was to dwell in them. And he gave them such a blessed interest and sacred love to him. But the point what I was going to make was this. When they got to the destination of Emmaus, what did they say to him? And this will test us out if we've got anything that's real at all. Is it your desire what they said, and is it mine? And what did they say? Abide with us, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. They wanted the dear Redeemer to abide with them and to abide in their hearts. It's a good prayer, isn't it? Abide with us. How many times have you said that of late? Abide with us, dear Lord. Don't let us walk alone. Don't let us wander. Abide with us. Keep us near thee. Keep us at thy feet. Abide with us. For it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And what do we read? He went in, and he tarried with them. He gave them their request. You know, these two were to have the same favour. And each one that truly seeks and fears the Lord will be blessed with this in sacred measure, for him to dwell in you, to him to abide with you. And if we know something of what it is for the Lord to abide in our hearts, it'll make us to hate sin, hate the flesh, hate this world, hold it with a very loose hand. And faith will lay hold of the dear Redeemer. Oh, it will. You see, the spouse in the Song of Solomon, in that very sacred, blessed book, she knew what it was for the Lord to abide in her and dwell in her. But she knew when he withdrew himself. There may be those of you look back this evening, and you look back to, well, I'm going to say better days. Days where in the days of your espousal you knew so much nearness to the Lord, so much sweet communion with him. But now you seem to travel much by night. You know what it is when he withdraws. You read that 251st hymn, that's a very sacred hymn to me. He says, I miss the presence of my friend, like one whose comfort's gone. And that's what it'll be when the Lord withdraws, you see, and you can't feel him abiding with you. You want him to come again, you see. What do we sing when Jesus, with his mighty love, visits my troubled breast? My doubts subside, my fears remove, and I'm completely blessed. Where dwellest thou? Oh, may that desire be found in us, that he might abide in us and dwell in us. But then he dwells too in his sacred word. You know, this is what would draw the child of God to God's holy word, because the Lord dwell in there. You know, it's not just print on the page to a real child of God, is it? It's a living word when the Holy Spirit shows you that Christ is dwelling in it. Oh, it is. It's the promises, you see, in God's holy word are full of the dear Redeemer, Christ dwelling in them. They're full of Christ. Him dwelling in the word. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And oh, how he abides in his word, dwells there. And oh, to have a little view as we read the holy word, the Lord dwelling in his word. It's the word of the King of Kings. And this is what will make it so sacred and so precious to you. Another sacred place in which he dwells is in the house of God. What do we sing in the hymn? What is the house to me unless the master there I see? I remember the late Mr. Abby Palmer telling me at Lakeneath once, he said, you know, he said, once when you preached here, he said, you know, I lost sight of you and all I saw was Jesus only. He said, if ever I felt the Lord dwelling in the word and dwelling in the place, he said, I did that night. Lifted above everything of this earth, you see. Wonderful mercy when we're favoured, isn't it? This would draw you to the house of God, you know, when you can feel the Lord dwell in there. And you want to come up again, Lord, do come and dwell with us in the pew, dwell in our hearts, dwell in the sanctuary. It'll be made then the house of God to you and the gateway to heaven. But then it'll be a very sacred spot, you see, to your soul. Some of the old saints used to particularly like to sit in their seats where the Lord blessed them. I think they used to feel, well, we'll go there and beg of him to come again. You see, when Jesus, as I quoted just now, with his mighty love visits my troubled breast, you won't forget those times, you know, where he is dwelling there and dwelling with you and dwelling in you. And he dwells too in the ministry of the word as it is preached. This is vital where the Lord to anoint his servants to preach, not only the commencing, but anoint them every time they go into the pulpit. That Christ might dwell in their ministry. It be full of Christ. You know, I think back over the old ministers we used to hear in our early days, and you know, it was such a Christ-exalting ministry. Directing the poor sinner to the dear Redeemer. Why? Because in him there's everything they need. And if he's dwelling in you, poor soul, he'll supply all that you need, both in providence and in grace. The hymn writer knew something of it when he said, my every need he richly will supply, nor will his mercy ever let me die. And when he's dwelling in you, have a little faith, don't you, given to you to believe he'll supply all you need. According to his riches in glory, the dear apostle said, in Christ Jesus. Where dwellest thou? What a desire, isn't it? Of these two souls, where dwellest thou? But then, of course, he dwells too in the hymns we sometimes sing. You know, it's a sweet thing when, as we sing that sacred language, we can feel Christ is dwelling in us and dwelling in the very blessed words we sing. But just two further thoughts, and I must hasten, but he dwells too in heaven at the right hand of the throne of God. What for? To make intercession for poor sinners. He dwells there. To hear and to answer the prayers of his dear people. He dwells in glory. Takes the cries, the longings, the desires, the fervent prayers of his dear children and presents them spotless and pure before a holy God, cleansed from all sin. He takes the petitions you utter and presents them before a holy God. The blessed mediator and intercessor, pleading on behalf of his dear children, these dear followers of his, these dear disciples. He dwells there. And oh, you can spread before him, poor soul, can't you, all your need. You can spread before him all your case, and he understands a sigh divine and marks a secret groan. And he knows just how his dear children feel. He dwells so in them and with them. Oh, he does. But then, of course, he dwells in heaven, that holy, happy place, where sin no more defiles. And these dear souls that have this longing which is in these three words, where dwellest thou? They want to be with him in that eternal dwelling place in glory in heaven. They want to see him as he is, without a veil between. Well, could the apostle say, we see as it were through a glass darkly, but then we shall see him without a veil between. Do you long to dwell with him forever? There are those that have been able to say as they've left this earth, I've gone to endless bliss to dwell. To be with their dear Redeemer forever. Well, could the apostle say, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Oh, to be amongst those who desire this eternal dwelling place, you see, in heaven. I often think back, if I may just briefly name it, and some of you older ones will remember it, when my dear Mr. Wood preached here, I can't remember the date or the year, it was soon after I went into the ministry, but he preached about Isaac. And part of the text was concerning Isaac pitching his tent. And I always remember what he said. He said, you know, a tent. He said, those of you go on holiday and you put up the tent, it's a temporary dwelling. But he said, where are we pitching our tent? And I want to look at this text in a moment from the opposite side to what we've just hinted at tonight. And I thought about that today, you know. Where are we pitching our tent? Because that is very vital, you see. Those the Lord dwells in his dear people will want to dwell with him, with the dear Redeemer. And I want to just briefly hint at a few places you will, but before I do that, there's one thing that perhaps I should have named earlier. You know, these real followers and dear disciples of the Lord, they follow him in his sacred commandments and his ways and his sacred precepts. You read Psalm 119, that's a blessed psalm, you know, of commandment to the followers of Christ. The love the psalmist had for the commandments of the Lord, his precepts, his ways, his testimonies, his statutes. They're all named in that beautiful psalm. And you know the Lord dwells in those sacred ordinances. I hope, if not an awfully deceived, I had a little taste of it at the Lord's Supper, last Lord's Day. It was very sweet to me, you know. A taste of him dwelling in that sacred ordinance. And those of you that may be exercised concerning following him and his sweet commandments, you know, why did, like the dear woman in Huntington's day, desire to follow the Lord? She said, Mr. Huntington, it's because I've seen Jesus in the water. That's why I want to venture to follow him in that sacred ordinance. You know, a glimpse of Christ in that sacred ordinance, a glimpse of him at the Lord's Supper will melt the hardest marble of your heart, remove all the sin that troubles you, because he came to put it all away and to redeem his dear children and shed his precious blood to redeem them. Redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. But let us just hint at it from the other side. Where dwellest thou? Well, two blessed characters have rested upon me as I came in the pulpit this evening concerning this. Firstly, the Shunammite woman. You remember how in her love and kindness to dear Elisha, she wonderfully provided for him, didn't she? A bed and a candlestick and a little chamber. Kindness was in it all. You see, she knew he was a true servant of God. And what did the dear man desire for her? Wilt thou be spoken of to the king or to the captain of the house? And what did she say? I dwell among mine own people. All she wanted was to dwell among the people of God. And you know, if the Lord's dwelling in your poor heart and mine, that's what we want. We want to dwell among his people. Solemnly, there are so many today that are dwelling in the world, dwelling in ungodliness, dwelling in sin. But these followers of the Lord Jesus will be just like that dear woman. I dwell among mine own people. The second case that rested upon me was this of dear Ruth. She could no longer dwell in Moab Why? Because the Lord had shown all there was death. Everything in Moab had death stamped on it. She couldn't dwell there any longer. What did she desire? Was to dwell among the people of God. And oh, you think of how beautifully she speaks to Naomi. Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, in other words, where thou dwellest, where thou lodgest, I will lodge, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. All she wanted was to dwell among them, wasn't it? All Orpah wanted was to dwell in Moab among the gods of Moab. Go back to what dear Mr. Wood said. Where are you pitching your tent? Is it among the people of God or is it in the world? You can't pitch it in both. A tent, you see, is a temporary dwelling. The day is coming when it will have to be taken up. But have we an eternal dwelling place with the dear Redeemer? But then we're just pursuing it with Ruth and then I must leave it. But you think of that dear woman, how she dwelt with the handmaidens of Boaz in Boaz field. She didn't want to glean anywhere else, did she? He said to her, go not to glean in any other field. She wanted to dwell with them, those handmaidens of Boaz. May each of you young ones, us that are older too, dwell with the handmaidens of the heavenly Boaz. All she wanted to do was dwell with them. Not away from them, but with them. And oh, to be constrained to dwell with the church. I put it to you, even concerning the church at Swavesey, and may there be so of those at home, made willing to dwell with them. And dear Ruth, you see, she was made willing to, wasn't she? And she didn't want anything else. But then she couldn't rest there. She wanted to dwell with Boaz. You know, the hymn writer said, didn't he, Jesus, my Boaz is. And oh, I believe as we read that sacred book, it sets forth so much the wonderful union between Ruth, who was a type of the church of God, and Boaz, who was a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. She wanted to dwell with him, wouldn't she? Those of you who are in love, in courtship, and the day comes like in marriage where you want to dwell with those you love. May we be amongst those that dwell close to the Lord's people, close to his truth, close to his word, close to his house, but above everything, close to a precious Jesus. The hymn writer said, nearer, nearer to him clinging. Oh, may that be our desire. Well, the time's gone. I haven't got anywhere really. But oh, may the Holy Spirit apply these three precious words. Where dwellest thou? May it bring us each to consider that. Where we dwell and where the Saviour dwells. Because they wanted to know. The hymn writer said, till I am told by God's own mouth that he has chosen me. And when he tells you, poor soul, then you'll know that he's your Redeemer, your Saviour, your all, and without him You cannot do anything. But through him you can do all things. Amen.
Let us close with hymn 723. Come ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is willing, doubt no more. 723.
Come over the poverty of our poor feeble attempts. do bless thy own word. May we not leave it all on the chapel doorstep. May there be a little that abides in our hearts. Forgive anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.